Good morning.
This morning's chapel is going to be a special event for us. Seth Christman is in his final year of his MDiv here at EMS, and most of you know him. Before he came to EMS, though, he was a special ed teacher at Broadway High School. And I remember Don Yoder did most of the recruiting of Seth, I think. And I remember Don saying that Seth came to him and said, "I love my job, but I really feel called to seminary." And that has been true for his career here, I think, as well. But that stuck with me. And recently someone said, "Oh, Seth is an evangelist. Anything that he loves, he talks about." And that has certainly been true of the seminary, and I am very appreciative of of seminary students who are willing to, for example, be photographed in boxes or do funny photo shoots or talk about the seminary wherever they happen to be. But we are very glad that Seth's call doesn't fit into a box and that we can experience some of that this morning. So, also very important, Seth is married to Teresa, who's sitting in the back, and they have a very beautiful daughter named Eliana, who is back there as well. Currently sleeping, might wake up to her dad's voice, we don't know. but anyway, thank you, Seth, and welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to share this morning for chapel. Let's pray together before we go further forward. Lord, thank you for this space, for the seminary, which is committed to discerning who we are called to be as your people, and how we are called into this world around us to bring healing and hope that is you. Thank you for this time to share music and for the many professors who have encouraged, and teachers along the way who have encouraged me to reflect and to share good news through music as I've walked along this journey. So bless this time, Lord. We give you the glory for it. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't think I've had a terribly typical seminary experience, especially when you think about the kinds of assignments that professors have allowed me to do. And I think that's a real treasure. And so I'm really excited to be able to share some stories and situate some of these songs within the context from which they came. Some of the songs came from some of my Hebrew studies, others from New Testament, and some of them are simply prayer practices that I've engaged in while being at seminary that I was encouraged to begin practicing while in the first year formation class with Mary and with other and Kevin, and have continued to practice. And so some of these are closely related to my coursework, and others I didn't write in any result of my coursework in particular, but came out of my prayer life. So I'm going to sing a couple songs that came out of my Christian tradition project, which I did my first year here at EMS. This first one's called Dawn, and it's sung as a round, but there's only one of me. I've been trying to sing three parts at one time all morning, and it does not work. So you'll just have to imagine, I suppose. The context is that my timeline project told the story of the Christian tradition, or at least parts of it, little snippets from Christ until present. And this was the first song in the project. Dawn, here comes the light that now shines brightly, the Son, begotten One, who came to love and to heal us, died and resurrected and ascended into heaven, proclaimed by the apostles, retold within the Gospels. Dawn, here comes the light. The light that now shines brightly, oh,
Alleluia, oh. Alleluia.
So in theory, that would be sung all at the same time. And it works. It works really well. We performed, part of my work with the Walking Roots Band is we get to go to a lot of different places and share music with a lot of different folks, some of which are Christians and have known Jesus for longer than I've been alive, and others who have never heard of Jesus, never touched the good news that we have in Jesus. And my friend Greg Yoder says, we feel equally called to Saturday night to sing in bars and restaurants as Sunday mornings, because we believe that God's in both places, and so we want to be in both places. And so that first song, Dawn, is the proclaiming the good news of Jesus. This next one is a prayer that I did for that same project, it was the Lord's Prayer, and it was used as a benediction at that of that project. So this is an arrangement of the Lord's Prayer, and if you catch on to it, you can feel free to sing along. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. As we forgive others, please forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread. As we forgive others, please forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Teresa and I have been singing that song to our daughter Eliana each night before bed as part of our rituals. The rituals that we set up in our lives, intentionally or unintentionally, are significant. And that's one that we're choosing to do each night as a way of bookending the day. The next two songs I'm going to sing are songs that came out of my work with Dr. Andrea Dalton Sainer this summer. At EMS, the crazy thing is, if you get really excited about something, we're small enough of an institution, or perhaps our ears are attentive enough in our structures that we're willing to make space for individuals' particular passions or interests of study. And that's what happened with Eric Trinka and I and Andrea Fonseca Becar. Anita, I said Andrea, didn't I? Oh, man. Anita, we had already taken a Hebrew exegesis course, and we approached Lonnie and Dr. Yoder and Dr. King, and this is fun, and And we asked them if we could do more. And we approached Dr. Sainer, and she agreed to do an independent study with us over 10 weeks and study the wilderness wanderings. So we just saturated ourselves in the Exodus, Numbers, and then in other places like Jeremiah chapter 2, where the wilderness wanderings are retold, or in some of the Psalms where the tradition is reinterpreted or re-preached within different contexts to different people. And it was just a treasure of a class, and I wish you could be there. I wish I had it recorded. I wish I recorded every session, because it was incredible. Dr. Sainer is very knowledgeable, and it was a great space for us to be able to question together and learn and practice the Hebrew that we have been working so hard to learn. We went really deep. Anyway, there's a project that was due at the end of the course, and I talked to Dr. Sainer early on, and she said, I would love for you to do some music with it. You still have to write a lot, and I had to write a lot, but I was able to write five songs, a small EP of five songs that told some of the stories of the wilderness wanderings. One was completely in Hebrew. One was a rap where I rapped in Hebrew and English, not very successfully, but I tried. And these are two songs that I also did for that project. So I'll play them sort of straight in without introduction, further introduction in between. The first one was my attempt at the most sincere statement of how the people of Israel, the Hebrews who were coming up out of Egypt, would have been feeling. I didn't want it to be necessarily like complaining, like not really like in this negative sort of way, but just giving voice to their experience. The desert is dry and there's no rain coming. We find ourselves in the wilderness, and what do we do? This is trying to, instead of saying, oh, those complaining Hebrews who came up out of Egypt, this tries to simply state maybe some of the things that they were feeling at that time. Are you lost? It begs the question. As you sit there all alone, when you arrive where you're headed, how is it that you'll know? Desert's dry and there's no rain a-coming, not a river bedding. So I pray to God up in heaven, 'cause my throat and my soul have run dry. I take a drink of something stronger to forget a God who isn't. Said good things would surely find me. Not sure hope can find me here. Desert's dry and there's no rain a-coming, not a riverbed in sight. So I pray to God up in heaven, 'cause my throat and my soul. When's that rain finally coming? Where are those waters still? When we headed towards green pastures, or the Jordan, I'll wait until but for now. Desert's dry and there's no rain a-coming, not a riverbed in sight. So I pray to God up in heaven, 'cause my throat and my soul. Desert's dry and there's no rain a-coming, not a riverbed in sight. So I pray to God up in heaven, 'cause my throat and my soul have run dry. For all of you Hebrew scholars out there, you can say that at a seminary. Words in Hebrew have a very broad semantic domain. I don't know if it's more than Greek. I think so. Maybe we could talk about that later, Dr. Weaver. they have a huge semantic domain, Hebrew words. Nefesh, so Psalms 103, Baraki Nefshi. My soul, bless the Lord, O my soul. Vokol karave et shem kadosho. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, bless God's holy, sacred name. Nefshi is soul in Hebrew scriptures, but it's also the word, it's very closely related and sometimes interpreted for neck. And so we have this embodied soul that that is sort of played with in that chorus. My throat and my soul have run dry. The Israelites who, or the mixed multitude who come up out of Egypt, who are both physically and spiritually dry and thirsty, was one of the things I was trying to get at in that song. This is the next one, which I said I wasn't going to introduce, but I am. This is a story about manna. You have what you need. Well, I don't have enough. You follow and you lead. But it's getting kind of rough. I don't know where we are, but I'd rather be where I've been. Would you open up your eyes? All we got is bread. Rivers all run dry, and y'all should stop pretending. I don't know where we are, but I'd rather be where I've been. You're telling me that you think that you and I'd be better off with him. Oh, I don't care if people stare, if people think that this is sin. Oh, oh. Love don't pay no rent. It won't my stomach fill. If this desert don't get us, then I'm sure something else will. Oh, I don't know where we are, but I'd rather be where I've been. Don't know where we are, but I'd rather be where I've been. This Clever, right? Yeah, I picture the cowboy on the range. I don't know. more than slightly there. I was really in like the dry part of Wyoming, you know, whenever I was writing that song. I got all my pictures from being out west. And I've never been to the land of promise or whatever you want to call it, that part of the world. Eric Trinka always, he says, not the promised land, it's the land of promise. And then when you break the promise, you don't get to stay in the land anymore. But I'm going to sing a couple of songs of Hope in Darkness. This is one that... I wrote during my first year as part of my prayer practices. It's an adaptation of a hymn that's found in Hymn of the Worship book, but I didn't look up the words. If you want, you can. It's It Is Well With My Soul by Horatio G. Spafford. Most fun to say name in the whole hymnal. I folkified it and made it contextualized to the Shenandoah Valley, and we recorded it with the Walking Roots Band about 18 months ago. So this is It Is Well With My Soul. The last verse is an adaptation of the 23rd Psalm. One day during class, Dr. Engel, Jim Engel, who has since retired from EMS, he opened up with devotions on Psalms 23, and he highlighted the last verse of the psalm, and he said, let's read it together in Hebrew, and we read it together in Hebrew, and he said, now, what are these words? These rodef hesed, and we sat down and we parsed it out together, and rodef means to, well, it's surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, right? And Jim said, okay, goodness, yes, tov, right? Mercy, this is hesed, this is God's steadfast, enduring love, covenantal loyalty, God's mark of a covenant community, and surely God's hesed will, now rodef is more like hunt than follow. This isn't some sort of passive, like I just happen to be like, oh, I'm gonna follow. No, this is like, I am up against me, like chasing me down, hunting me. God's love, God's steadfast love hunting me throughout my life, and I try to put that in the last song, the last verse of the song. When peace like the Shenandoah comes to attend my soul, when sorrows rage like sea billows roll, whatever comes, my Savior, you have taught me to say, oh, even so, it's well with my soul. It is well, it is oh so well with my soul, oh with my soul. Though evils all around me, and troubles and trials come, let this blessed assurance me control, that Jesus has regarded my helpless and hurted state, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well, it is oh so well with my soul, oh, with my soul. It is well, it is oh so well with my soul, oh, with my soul. Cause the Lord is our patient shepherd, we shall not be in one. He's watering our hearts and he's feeding our souls. Even through the darkest valleys or up on the mountains high,
Your mercy and love pursue us, O dear Lord. It is well. It is oh so well with my soul. Oh, with my soul. It is well. It is oh so well with my soul, oh, with my soul.
I arranged that in a particularly stressful part of life. There was some personal stuff going on, and it's amazing, we get to share music with, oh man, so many different people with the Walking Roots Band. We get to travel all over the place and share with so many different groups of people. The full breadth of the Mennonite Church and the broader church, and it is such a privilege and joy for us to be able to do that. But it's always amazing to hear people come up and share stories afterwards. They hear these songs and they come up and they say, oh, I don't know what was going on when you all wrote that, but let me tell you about what's been happening in my life. And we sit and we listen. And we hear stories of pain, of great difficulties that I cannot possibly imagine. And somehow the Holy Spirit grabs songs, these songs, and runs with them in ways that I couldn't have imagined. Go figure, the Holy Spirit, right? We try to fit maybe our seminary studies in a box as if it should all look the same, but we do the same thing with God and our understandings of how God works in the world around us and who God is, what God looks like. We've been doing that for a long time. One song that's been really incredible to be able to share is not a hymn. Back in March, my Aunt Karen passed away. She died. And I went to her funeral. And folks were really incredible, my professors. She died of cancer. She had had cancer for about 18 months. And she worked really hard at staying alive. And she eventually died. She was an incredible lady. Just like me, she was a special ed teacher. She did it for her whole life, though, just like my mom. And she's one of those people where when you bump up against her, like, you know who she is, you know? Like, you experience God's love when you bump up against her, every time. And at her funeral, her students had written, and students' parents had written letters of appreciation for her, for who she was and how she had ministered to them as their teacher. And they read these letters at her funeral. And I mean, we were just all sobbing. But she taught until like 2 weeks before she died. She taught right up to the end. And people would always ask, I mean, she didn't need to be working. They weren't financially in need. But she did it because she had the chance to embody good news to students around her. That was simply why she did it. She loved what she did, and her vocation was her calling. And she shared God's love with everyone she bumped into, parents, students, and teachers. And that's a song of hope and of choosing to not live in fear, in reaction to fear. A lot of the problems that we get in the church and outside the church is when we choose to react and live in fear. And that's not what Christ calls us to. We've experienced perfect love, and that sort of does the whole transforming thing with fear. So this is a Bob Dylan song that I arranged while I was grieving for my Aunt Karen, and it's called Let Me Die in My Footsteps Before I Go Down Under the Ground. Somebody tells me the death's coming round, and I will not lay myself down to die. When I go to my grave, my head'll be high.
There's been rumors of wars and wars that have been, and the meaning of life has been lost in the wind. And some people thinking that the end is close by, instead of learning to live, they are learning to die. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. Know if I'm smart, but I think I can see when somebody's been pulling the wool over me. And if this war comes and death's all around, let me die in this land for I die underground. If I had rubies and riches and crowns, I'd buy the whole world and I'd change things around. Throw all the bombs in the tanks in the sea, for they are the mistakes of a past history. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under. Let me die in drink from the river where the mountain streams flood. Let the smell of the wildflowers flow through my blood. Let me sleep in your meadow with your green grassy leaves. Let me walk down the highway with my brother in peace. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground.
I received an email just a couple weeks ago about that song after we performed it, and it was someone who was highlighting the discipleship nature of that song. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. Dying to ourselves. Costly discipleship, like we talked about in our Bonhoeffer class. And that song was really, really powerful for me. Powerful for me as I mourned my Aunt Karen's dying. I'm going to play one more song this morning. This is a song that I wrote this last fall as part of my Prophets project that I did again for Dr. Sainer. We studied the Prophets, the Book of the Twelve. I used to call them the Minor Prophets, and that's a mistake. Don't ever do that around Hebrew scholars or Anil Solanki. He says, minor prophets, these are the most important. Have you read Amos? No, it's super important. Amos calls us to such an integrated faith, such a like whole being faith. It was remarkable. We did an Amos exegesis class last year, and it was just, wow. Every class, I walk out of class and I'd be like, can it get any better? I don't know. So I did my final project on the book of Jonah, and I wrote one song for each chapter. One from the perspective of God calling Jonah, sort of the interaction that happens with the sailors at the beginning. One from the belly of the fish, whale thing. We could talk about that later. one of Jonah going through the city of Nineveh and this message that is kind of presented. And one, the last one makes sense. You do like the whole, like, Jonah misses the boat, you know, like, he cares more about the plant than the people. And chapter 4, the natural song for chapter 4 would have told something like that. God's indignation at Jonah for missing the boat when it comes to God's love. And I couldn't do it because I'm just such a... I wanted Jonah to repent at the end. Drove me nuts. Continues to drive me nuts. God says, can't you see that there's all these people in Nineveh that don't even know their left hand? They're left from their right, and you care more about this plant than these people. And God, the Holy One, drops the microphone and walks out, and the book ends. We don't get any reaction from Jonah, and it just drives me bonkers. And so I wrote a song of confession for Jonah as my response. And Dr. Sainer, she accepted it. And she said, now, wouldn't it have made maybe? And I said, I know that's the natural choice, but I couldn't do it. Jonah needs to repent. And we need to repent because so often we miss the boat. So often we fail to turn and listen. So often we fail to turn and recognize that it is God who has shown us this deep love, and it is our, within this covenant, we are called to share, to embody that love to the people around us. And so this is a song of confession that I wrote for Jonah, but I think it's one that we would all do better to pray. I've been praying this song since I wrote it back in November, and on almost a daily basis, and it's been very transforming in my life, calling me to right relationship and to remember where God's heart is. This will be on our Prayers for the Church album. We're recording that this spring, and it'll be free for whoever wants it because EMS made a generous donation and another couple individuals made some generous donations to make it possible. So we wrote 6 prayers for the church, and we'll print 1,000 copies and do a whole lot more of that downloads, and we'll give them away. And so I want to say thanks to EMS for supporting that project, for caring about the church in that sort of way. When things get kind of messy in the church, we could all probably confess and open our ears a little bit more. I think that'd be a good course of action for us. So this is a song of confession, and thank you for being here this morning.
Sinned against each other. Take our sins away. We've betrayed our sister and brother. Take our sins away. Teach us how to love our neighbor. Take our sins away. Teach our hands to do your labor. Take our sins away. And all the times that we have forgotten the depths of your great love. And all the times that we have forgotten depths of your great love. Teach us how to have compassion. Take our sins away, spur our words into action. Take our sins away when we fail to turn and listen. take our sins away, building up the walls of division. Take our sins away. And all the times that we have forgotten the depths of your great love. And all the times that we have forgotten the depths of your great love. Take our sins away.
Amen. Let's pray together as we leave. Lord, thank you for this time where we could share these songs. Where we could commune with your Holy Spirit as the body of Christ. I pray that you would bless us, that you would move within our hearts, that you would move in our midst, Holy Spirit, as we seek to more faithfully follow you as your people. Thank you for this incredible institution, this community of believers who are committed to training students to be able to lead as missional leaders within your church. Thank you for their patience, the way that they've embodied your love to me and to so many others before and who will come after me. It's good news. Thank you for the way that they've showed us love. Bless us today, Lord, as we seek to follow you. In your name we pray. Amen.